The NFL season is finally here, so make sure you're ready with NFL Sunday Ticket and YouTube TV. It gives you the most live NFL games all in one place, exactly what you need to make your Sundays more magical. Sign up today at youtube.com/Sunday Ticket. Local and national games on YouTube TV. NFL Sunday Ticket for out-of-market games excludes digital-only games.
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Bart Winkler. Welcome into the Winklerverse. Paul Himmig is here. Grant's in a motor vehicle today, being safe, exercising caution.
Oh,
no, he's good. He's good. He's going back to the native land, the homeland, the lost island, the wonderful town of La Crosse. Enjoy. Have a bloody for me, Grant. have one for me. But yeah. All right. So we got a lot going on. Packers 2-1. Bucks Media Day coming up. Should I go to that, by the way? I was going to ask you guys. Should I try to go? It's like Monday morning.
Even better.
I might put it in a request. I don't know what I'm going to do there.
You're going to network with a professional NBA team and its group. Yeah, players, coaches.
Because the last time I applied for a credential, the Packers denied me. So.
Very politely, but
that's Red China. The Bucks aren't Red China. Bucks will let you in. I don't know what you do there, but what is anyone doing there? Are the writers like getting foundational information for their story? No, it's just you go because that's what you do.
Yeah, and I've been to a few of them. It'd be good to go back.
This is not a flattering view of me. My head looks fucking. Continue. Sorry.
I would put it in the dash like I do. Or is your car not that way? Because I. Like last night, I did my show and I was watching Agatha All Along reaction video.
Jeez.
While in my dash. Speaking of last night, I was talking about the WNBA on Wednesday's show because Caitlin Clark was knocked out of the playoffs. And I was pontificating if this year was a success for the WNBA, to which I said it was not. Huh. I think Caitlin Clark coming into the league, the WNBA was naturally going to get a bump and just some natural things were going to happen positive from her coming into the league. Those things happened. There were some things out of their control, like the Olympics she wasn't on and then Cameron Brink getting hurt and then Angel Reese getting hurt, you know, so some of these stars getting hurt. But I don't think the WNBA did anything particularly good to help boost the brand. Everything that we heard about him was people fighting. So that was my take.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to share with you a response it elicited to my Instagram at 7:18 this morning.
Oh boy.
Because this is how people message me now. It's not Twitter or DMs, which are open. It's not Facebook. It is finding me on Instagram and sending me a message. This is from Christopher Collins, whoever that is.
Sure.
You are one of the worst at your job. You must be a DEI hire. So that basically that's why I'm reading it, that line. But much more. First, your program has no organization of thought. Second, you know little to nothing about sports. Usually you talk about anything but sports. You have to know somebody or be related to someone in production. Third, the take you had on CeCe's failure proves your ignorance and total lack of preparation. You look like you smoke a lot of weed. Back to CeCe. You are so ignorant that I highly doubt you know who I'm referring to. Her season was a huge success for her in the WNBA. She set multiple records for a rookie. Her team went to the playoffs. Attendance increased that they had to change to bigger venues. Players are riding on chartered flights now. The players negotiate a new contract that includes more television money. You, sir, are unbearable to listen to. Please take a bong hit and disappear. So I am a DEI stoner.
You're probably the first and only ever DEI hire to come from Fond du Lac.
I know. That one I had to share with the bosses. And then Carlos is like, you were on a show with someone named Carlos Ortiz. And yeah, but I don't think my WNBA take was wrong though.
I think you do look like you smoke a lot of weed.
Well, yeah, gummies. HappyPlaceHemp.com, promo code BART.
We got that one right.
Do I take 14 or 12 towards Baraboo to get on 90?
I don't think I've ever taken 12.
I'm going, okay, I that's what I thought. I just triple checking. Both will get me there. I got nothing but time. But
do you go by the casino on your way out of town?
No, probably not.
Oh.
I know you think
I'm going to get a lot of pull tabs at some lacrosse bars, but
I know
you got to, what are you taking? Oh, you got to take 12.
I'll take 12 to Baraboo and then I'll get on 94. That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, okay.
I know you guys think I'm the crazy one, but the fact that you're driving without directions and you're just kind of like guessing and hoping for the best is...
No. Not guessing, Paul, because this is something that most people my age cannot fathom. There are signs everywhere that tell you where the road is going. If you just take the time to look, which I understand is... I'm also looking at my phone, but I can do two things at once. The signs, if you just read the signs, I went to Mitchell Airport a couple weeks ago for the first time ever. Their little airplane sign take you the whole way if you just pay attention. If you just turn off
the first time ever.
Yeah.
You've never been to Mitchell Airport?
No. We always, growing up, flew out of Minneapolis, St. Paul, fly out of Madison. You just had a reason to.
But no, you're right, though. There, not only does it say Mitchell, there are airplane logos. It's brilliant.
Everywhere. But people my age were so kind of punched in the GPS, and I had it in my GPS, but, you know, just look around. Observe the world around you. There's clues everywhere. It's like a big scavenger hunt out here on the highway. But kids my age, they don't know that.
We should stop at a gas station. Where's the? How about every exit? It says gas, food, lodging.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
What's up, everybody? It's Heisman Trophy winner Matt Leinart. I've got a podcast called Throwbacks with actor Jerry Farrar, where we'll be talking all things sports, but also so much more. We'll give you the behind-the-scenes stories from my days as the quarterback on an iconic college football team to Jerry's days as a star on an iconic TV series. So subscribe to Throwbacks wherever you download your podcast and follow us on all social media at Throwback Show.
What do you got for us, big boy?
I have a couple that I'm really excited about. Do you want to start with Packers or sort of a sports topic that came about this morning that's not directly one of our local teams? Save that one or start with it?
You're the boss.
Let's hit it. Zach Lowe was laid off by ESPN.
Yes.
I know a lot of people, they like their certain reporters and like it becomes a personal thing as opposed to like when someone else that you don't know whose work you don't follow loses a job. But I will say that to me, this is the clearest indicator. There've been others that other people have taken issue with, but I think I'm going to bookmark this and say this moment, choosing anyone else to talk about the NBA versus having Zach Lowe talk about the NBA is the moment that crystallized without question that ESPN is here for the hot takes, not for the analysis. This is it. Today, this layoff, this situation, this is the end. Mm-hmm or mm-mm.
Well, if you look at Brian Curtis from The Ringer tweeted this earlier, all the people that have left ESPN in the last decade, Bill Simmons, Jamil Hill, Dan Le Batard, Skip Bayless, Michael Smith, Keith Olbermann, Ryan Russillo, Colin Cowherd, Kerry Champion, Kenny Mayne, Trey Wingo, Mike Golic Jr., Bomani Jones, Pablo Torre, Maria Taylor, Wesley Morris, Matthew Berry, Mark Stein, Ethan Strauss, Jason Stark, Dana O'Neill, Danny Cannell, Trent Dilfer, Kevin Van Valkenburgh, Jane McManus, Tom Rinaldi, The Bear, Howie Schwab, Chad Ford, jeez, Nate Silver and the crew, and then everybody at Grantland. That's a massive amount of talent that is left.
Yes.
Some of those hot takers in there, some a little more nuanced. I think with ESPN, I don't know if today is it, because I think the day that they decided to basically build their network around Mike Greenberg, who wears Jets jerseys on air, Stephen A. Smith, and Pat McAfee.
Mm-hmm.
And then when there were different assignments open, like Stephen A. Smith's on NBA Countdown, Pat McAfee's on College Game Day, Mike Greenberg hosts NFL Countdown. It seems like they're trying to do what the Phoenix Suns are trying to do, where you have three exorbitant contracts at the top and then try to fill in your team scrubs. Yeah. So they're doing the studs and duds DraftKings lineup is what they're doing.
Mm.
Zach Lowe, I don't know that he cost you an exorbitant amount of money.
I don't think so either.
And Woj just left, and I know like that should have freed up some money.
That should have freed up a lot of money.
So Woj leaves, and then you get rid of Zach Lowe?
So let me just add to this, because I like what you're saying. A
throw-in?
I like what you're saying, but
in the deal?
For me, as a sports viewer, consumer, if your network can't find space, budget, airtime for Zach Lowe, you're no longer trying. Oh, we lost Bart.
Maybe? No, I was gonna try to.
You really
I was try it. To just show the person that was talking for a little.
It didn't work. You went to Grant. Let me just say this because you ruined it, but I'll try anyway.
Okay.
If your network can't find airtime, budget, space for Zach Lowe, then you're not actually trying to present content for me. For me as the sports viewer, for what I'm looking for. So
see, now I'm directing.
I see how you did that. You're pretty good at this. So good at this. Flawless at this. So that's why for me, this is like a signal. Like it's one thing if like Woj decides to leave or they make some big decision, but you're basically saying, well, what Zach Lowe delivers for content isn't what we want. We don't have the time, the space for this guy who is like unquestioned, like one of the most well-liked, well-respected, smart NBA guys who does it in an entertaining way, but is actually teaching you about the game, helping you learn about the game. So this is kind of like my, okay, I'm out. Like, I'm out. Not that I wasn't mostly out on what ESPN was doing, but like, I'm out. Like, you very clearly don't want to provide the content that people like me look for. You want hot takes and dumb shit. Go do you. I'm out. This is my official. Everyone has the breaking point. This is mine. I'm out.
Well, with Zach Lowe, too, he was like adding things to the podcast space and to the website. Maybe that traffic doesn't matter anymore. Maybe they just want who's going to serve me on TV.
Maybe. But again, the good news is this will not hurt Zach Lowe. Like, he's going to end up getting a bigger contract, a bigger role somewhere else. So this doesn't hurt him. I mean, it's temporarily shitty for him. But, like, he's going to come out of this ahead. But if we're talking about, like, the network and what ESPN is trying to provide or what they're prioritizing, it's clearly, like, lowest common denominator dumb shit. And that is so disappointing. Maybe
they no longer wanted the lowest common denominator.
Were you going for like a
Zach Lowe?
Oh my goodness. I didn't even appreciate it in real time.
Yeah, you're going to get back to this. Jesus. The directing was fun, but it was putting a strain on my finger.
Normally when you move the screen around, it only good things happen. It never derails the show and it always goes exactly how you want it to. So I'm surprised it didn't work there, but I applaud your effort.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Any thoughts for you, Grant?
Yeah, I'll be quick because I don't know that my service is awesome. It's surprising they lost Woj, so assumedly they have money. Now, Paul, let me throw this back at you, if sure. I may.
You may.
Do you think Woj, Bill posited this when it happened, and I'm like, no way. Do you think Woj saw the writing on the wall and is like, look, I'm not even really that jacked to do this anymore anyways, so to avoid a tough decision from you guys, I'll just show myself out.
Oh, that's interesting.
They just saved like $7 or $8 million a year by Woj retiring, basically.
Yeah, I think it's worth speculating because we don't know the answer. Was Woj like, okay, there's about to be a big cut. They're going to keep me. They're going to keep Woj. They can't cut their Woj bombs. But I'm going to sacrifice. I don't really want to be here anymore. So I'm going to preempt the decisions by ESPN by giving them back $7-8 million so that they don't have to make decisions about Zach Lowe and others. We don't know that, but like it's worth wondering.
Sure.
The timing is not likely a coincidence.
So let me throw something else at you. There's a huge NBA trade, Paul. Oh my God, I can't believe this trade took place. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to hear what all the experts have to say. Yep. Is there one person at ESPN now where you're like, I need to find their podcast or their recent hit or their story?
Not even close.
Not really.
It's not. But my answer would have been Zach Lowe. It has been. The answer has been Zach Lowe with then like a Bill Simmons Russillo podcast as my runner up.
Well, now, are they going to hire someone? Like, are they going to hire a Chris Haynes? Are they going to hire a...
They're going to have to hire they're going to have to hire Shams or Chris Haynes. Like, they have to do that. But that's not... They give NBA analysis, but it's not like the Zach Lowe style. It's more of the reporting, the in-depth, like, I just talked to Player X, and Player X told me that this is what's going to happen. Like, it's necessary, but it's not the same, not even remotely, in my opinion, the same type of analysis where it's like, let me teach you the game. And as much as I know, Bart, you were anti-JJ Redick, and he found himself going down far too many rabbit holes. Like, just stay above, like lift all the boats, JJ. You don't need to get down into the weeds and go on First Take to say why First Take is dumb. But when he did try to just focus...
Got him a job, though.
It worked. But when he did just focus on basketball, like, he was another guy who provided in-depth basketball analysis that made me, the NBA observer, more knowledgeable about what was happening. And like, whatever, like if you want to get your NBA,
well, maybe we got to also remember, like, who is watching these shows?
So I think that's my point, is like, to me, this is one of those like, oh, this isn't for me anymore.
No, so, I would argue it's for nobody.
Well, it's not for nobody.
It's for waiting rooms and car dealership spaces, and that's the thing, that's what they're creating
here. And hospitals, a lot of people, the last thing they see before they die is First Take. He'll be back. And then airports, like, when do you ever turn on these shows?
Very rarely, but I'll see, like, but again, I will go out of my way. I go out of my way to listen to Zach Lowe.
Mm. See, but I can say this about ESPN, because I kind of feel like I'm the same way with my show.
I also go out of my way to watch like a post Sunday football edition of Scott Van Pelt. Like, he's the one, like, I have the people whose content I think is valuable. I don't think everything that on like the Sunday night Scott Van Pelt version of SportsCenter is good, but he has enough of it where I'm like, oh yeah, I think that's a good end cap to the day. Sorry, you go ahead.
Well, it's the same thing I say about me. Like, I'm criticizing who is watching these shows, but you know, there are some people that are like, okay, I got to hear what Stephen A says to say, you know, just like there's people that, you know, follow me throughout the years and want to listen to the show. But for my show, it, like, the same way that ESPN is waiting rooms and stuff, my show is truckers. And I just want some sports on in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Like, we're all just, there's a difference between content that exists and content that's necessary.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like is content that is necessary.
Damn right it is.
My job is content that exists.
Sure. I know you think that of yourself. I think you have plenty of listeners who would disagree. I mean, yeah. But you do bring takes to national airwaves that, not saying I'm like a holistic consumer of national sports radio, but for example, and I know you're going to hate that I bring up
a lot of interesting, thought-provoking takes.
And what I'm about to say, you're going to both like, but then be infuriated by, which is like, I didn't think anybody else besides you, I would, if I had a national sports radio show, would have said, here's how I want to talk about this Woj retirement. I want to talk about how Schefter's an ass. Like, and then of course you did, and it was great. And it's refreshing, not because I know you, not because we're friends, but like,
someone else does it and they get an article written.
Then your boy Bill Simmons talked about it, and he had articles written about the fact he talked about it. And he was after you. Like,
he might have heard me.
I'm
on earlier in the night in the West Coast. I don't know what Bill's listening to on his walks with his headphones with no AirPods.
I think we now know the answer to that.
The Bart Winkler Show on the Odyssey platform.
But so to me, I think this happens in a lot of things in life, but where you start to realize like, oh, this product, whatever the product is no longer for me. And this is that moment.
What's weird though, Paul, is their NFL coverage seems to get it. Like, they bought it. They brought in Solak and Kevin Clark. And I really like that the show with Mina Kimes. Like, that coverage is very different from their NBA approach.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Yeah.
Solak He had a lot of weird things he was saying about Bryce Young. Basically, he thinks Bryce Young sucks and is done.
What was his opinion? I don't know the answer.
Kudos to Dave Canales for doing this, the bold, courageous thing.
Well, it is relative. I mean, honestly, to bench the last year's number one overall pick two games in is bold. I don't know if it's courageous, but it's bold.
Yeah, I don't know if it's courageous.
It's bold. It's something that most coaches wouldn't do. But again, I think you'd have to say, well, what was Solak's opinion on Bryce Young 16 months ago? If he also thought before the draft, like, this guy's not going to be good, okay, well, then I can give you a little bit more, a lot more, actually, like, credence to your idea. Like, yeah, I never thought he was going to be good. But I don't know that. I don't know what his pre-draft opinion was of Bryce Young.
There's a lot of Bukowski-ing, respectfully, saying, well, that's why before the draft I thought this or said this. It's like, a lot of people love Bryce Young. Like, no one was dragging the Panthers or making fun of them for that at the time. There were questions like there were with every other prospect, but I don't know.
A lot of people thought that C.J. Stroud was too stupid because he failed a test that nobody knew what was the test. Me. Come on. One thing that you guys should not fail is hitting up the promo code BART. Happy Place Hemp. The promo code is BART, B-A-R-T. Get those gummies. Take them down your throat and into your belly. That's how we teach our son how digestion works. Also, I've noticed since I eat less, my digestive problems have gone away. There may be something to that. But the Happy Place Hemp gummies are available for you, 25% off each and every order when you put in the code BART. You can do one of two things. You can go to Happy Place Hemp. They've got a location. You walk in, there's like a giant knight in there with a bunch of their products that you can take a look at and ask any questions that you have. I've seen it multiple times. Guys just come in, I just need something. I got to help me sleep. Or, hey, I don't want to drive to Illinois or Michigan to get some of the stuff that my friends are getting. What do you guys have here? Happy Place Hemp. Check them out. Promo code is BART. 25% off. If you go, tell them BART. You'll get the code and the discount. If you go on the website, and again, it's not just a Wisconsin thing. They'll ship it to you anywhere. HappyPlaceHemp.com. Promo code BART. 25% off.
All right. I know we don't have a ton of time. Oh, yeah. We don't have a ton of time, but I have two topics for Packers. I'm really excited.
You take your shirt off, Grant?
Yeah, I was getting really warm. Greetings from Sauk City, by the way. Look at this. Beautiful river.
Oh, my God. Grant, are you in a postcard?
I feel like I am. I love driving. Fuck, I love driving. All right. Yeah,
that really is beautiful, I must say.
It is. All right, Paul, what were you saying? I'm sorry.
Two topics I'm really excited about. Let's see if we can get to both. I'll start with the one that I had first. Bart, you were talking about, I think this was on the national show. I assume it was. Maybe it was with Horvat on last week's thing. But you said about the Packers and the crowd at Lambeau and the fact that, like, road crowds way better than home crowds and all these things. And you said, I wrote this down because I wanted to reference it. You said, but I don't know what the solution is. I know I won't want to go when I'm 70. Because you were talking about your own season ticket waiting list.
So yeah, I don't want to get those.
I have an extremely controversial, I think, thing for us to explore, shall we?
There should be a section 65 and older at Lambeau. Yes.
That's an interesting one. That's not mine. Check out mine. You're welcome to hate it. I'm not even sure I'm proposing it, but it's an idea and I want to explore it. The Packers should significantly jack up prices of their season tickets. Mm-hmm. Or this is the solution we need.
No, it's not. Weed out people
who, if you've got to commit a big, and I mean big chunk of cash, like a normal NFL season ticket holder would have to, the commitment that you have to bring to that is way more substantial than it would be. By the way, some people are hearing this right now and they're like, you ass. Like,
well, people are already trying to, like, you buy season tickets and then you sell enough games to cover even, and then that's how many games you go to. So you end up going to two.
But Packers.
So what's the point of having season tickets? You're not making money off of it. You go to two games. It's a fucking hassle. Just go to two games.
But you're going to them. If you're a halfway decent reseller, you're probably going to those two games for free because of the six that you sold.
Yeah, but is the juice worth the squeeze? Is it worth listing and looking and checking and knowing that you gave your tickets to some Vikings fans, where when Aaron Jones does a Lambeau leap this week, there will be plenty of Vikings fans for him to jump into?
But Packers season tickets are really inexpensive. based on the rest of the league, especially because the Packers are a consistently competing franchise. Yes, it's a much, much smaller market. So, you know, median dollars are not the same as they are in most or maybe all NFL markets. I just want to explore the idea, like, what percent of season ticket holders who begrudgingly go, because you know what, it's really not like I can make my money back. I just have to basically put out a loan for four to six months. By the time I have to pay for the tickets, first I can make the money back. Like, do you think like 50%, if they put it like 3X on the price tomorrow, which by the way, would put them in a more competitive ticket price range with the NFL. Like, they are way, way undervalued. Like, really? I know people get mad when they, like, when I covered the team, I would put out the article that said ticket price is going up by $4. Like, we would get like these fucking assholes, like, jacking the prices up again. I'm like, it was $4. You are paying the cheapest ticket in the NFL by a lot. So I don't know. Just a thought. You have a 65 and up stand. I have a, hey, let's just 3X the price on these ideas being a way to make Lambeau Field a better experience for those people who actually want to be there.
No, here's what you do. I got it. You take everybody on the season ticket list, which is like a thing to say. Mm-hmm. I'm on the season ticket. That's why I'm on it, to get that postcard. And the Packers go to you and they say, listen up. I know it's fun and all that stuff. We'll give you $100 right now to get off this fucking list.
Whoa.
and maybe it's even like 150 to the pro shop.
Wow.
I get that. I'm off the list tonight.
Oh, wow.
Tonight.
You'd do it for less than 100. What number would you actually do it for?
To get off the list?
What's the lowest number you'd accept to get off the list?
$35.
I could say, there it is.
Yeah.
If I could be unburdened from this.
Unburdened by what has been moving forward, yes.
I almost did that, Grant. There you go. You hit it.
Well, my God. Because what's going to happen? I'm going to either be 74, I did the math, and then have to figure that out, or they're gifted to my kid, who's going to be like, I'm a 30-year-old kid in the 2050s, where all the jobs are taken by robots that I can do. I'm eating grass for dinner, because there ain't no food around here, and I got to pay for these tickets to see Packers-Giants. No, my kid's going to be a herbivore.
Mm. Mm-hmm. That's a guy who's been learning about dinos.
Yeah, why do kids love dinos? Is it because they're not real?
They're not real.
Well, they don't exist.
Like wait a minute. Don't you guys love dinosaurs?
I kind of really like dinosaurs.
And why? Because my kid's obsessed. He's going to be one for Halloween. But then do you know one dino lover after puberty? Honestly,
no.
You guys don't have a favorite dinosaur?
Well, the fucking T-Rex is boss because he's got those little tiny arms.
Yeah.
And if he falls over, he can't get up.
Screwed. All you gotta do is get him down.
I don't know. I've always kind of liked the Stegosaurus, that big fatty with those spikes.
The spikes are sweet.
What a beautiful sky you have to. Is that the background of Windows 95? Holy fuck. No,
it's the view of the Sauk City Airport.
That's Windows 95 screen.
That did really actually look like picturesque. Yeah, that was really nice. Grant, your thoughts on the how to solve. Bart said on his show, one of the shows, that he didn't know how to solve this. I think we've just come up with three ideas. They might not be good ideas, but they're ideas. What say you?
I am open to the idea, and I don't know what I'm talking about, but like, why do we need season tickets at all? I understand
that. Yes.
It keeps butts in the seats for when the team is up and down. I get that. I want to go to 2 games this year. Then just pick 2 games and get tickets. You know, like I just think
season tickets are a scam. Show me that again.
The sky?
Yeah.
Hold on, give me another 30 seconds and I'll give it to you. I'm coming up on a big scenic corner, but
okay, good, because
I just Now, if you get season tickets, here's another thing, Paul. You say, you talk about selling to Vikings fans or rival fan bases. If you and your sister and brother-in-law and your parent, like, if you have a family grouping and you all split tickets, I think that's better. I think that's better than selling to strangers. That to me is, I think that's a proper way to do it. Do you think there's a difference there? That feels like the right way to do it, if there is a right way to do it.
I mean, so, like, for example, there are touring artists who you buy the ticket, and the only way you can resell it is at the price you paid for it. That's a thing. Like, I know, for example, like, I know that Pearl Jam did that on their tour. Mm-hmm. So the price of the ticket is what it is. And sure, you can relist it. Go ahead. You can't go anymore. Relist it. You should get your money back. But you can't, at least through the official apps. Like, could you go, like, down your street corner and be like, tickets for sale, 3x face value? Sure. But if you're going to do it through the official program, you have to pay. So that way you're saying, if you're buying the tickets, you're buying them to go. And if you're not going, you're not profiting. So, that, I mean, this is a thing that is in existence currently. I don't know if that exactly hits on what you're saying, Grant, but it's something.
Last time I went to a Brewer game, there was a guy trying to sell physical tickets. Like, haven't you got the memo, my man?
Dude, that's awesome. I would buy them just because he's selling the physical ticket.
But they're always, you know, I bought one once. The last time I bought one from a scalper, it was outside of the Bradley Center. And we went down there and we're like, we'll do a scalper. And we thought it was the greatest thing ever. But he gave us tickets. It was an elementary school, 200 people. And then me and my brother were sitting with beers in the middle of a fourth grade class. It's like, that's how they get these fucking tickets.
Mm.
Yeah.
I also, Paul, to jack up the prices, I think you would get some passionate Packers fans who are like, we'll pay whatever. And those are the fans that are more likely to cheer loudly. I also think you'd get rich people who are like, I'm going to go because I can. And then I think you run into maybe the dynamic you get at like a Notre Dame football game with people in furs. And the like, I don't know that that's going to fix the passion, the cheering problem.
But if you go, I'll put it this way. If you're going to a road game, you either flew or drove. You probably stayed in a hotel. Like, it wasn't inexpensive. You paid secondary market value. It probably wasn't inexpensive. And yet all reports would indicate like these are the good fans. So I get what you're, I think like the theory of what you're saying, Grant, makes sense. And it would definitely happen to some degree. But then why are the road game fans like exponentially better Packer fans than home fans?
Does Lambeau lose its charm if you're there too much?
Yes.
Do you get a moment where you walk in and you're like, like the first time you walk in, it's like, oh, Grant, wow. It's like as beautiful as what Grant's seen right now on the Dan Shaney YouTube. But then after a while, don't you start to look around and be like, man, these are just fucking bleachers. And then you're like, God, these fences are really shit shade of yellow. And these concourses are kind of ass too.
Don't you think that's like with anything though? Like if you become too familiar with it or you get too... you see too far behind the curtain of Oz, then you're like, oh. Like.
Yeah, but other stadiums, once that initial, like, let's say U.S. Bank, once you've been there a time or two and that, like, the magic wears off, quote unquote, the concourses are really nice and it's new and the concessions, like, it's just an easier stadium. There's more creature comforts. Whereas at Lambeau, once that magic wears off, it's just, not to disrespect it, you know, it's, especially if it's a cold weather game, it's just an old stadium with bleachers.
Yeah.
I will be going to US Bank Stadium this year.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's your road trip.
I think I'm going to drive and take a lacrosse detour as well. Mm. I think I'm going to get Adele's Bloody to go. I'm going to have them make me a 12 pack of Bloodies, take it to go, and then show up in Minnesota with Adele's Bloodies.
Bought cigarettes this morning for the weekend, have a pack ready to go in my backpack.
Really?
Yeah. Only time I ever smoke is in lacrosse.
Oh, I disavow this right now. This is...
I've only smoked like 7 times in my life, and each time has been in lacrosse, and it's been a full pack.
Jeez.
waking up the next day, you're like, a raccoon died in my throat. Oh, it is the worst. God, it's the worst.
Gross. Don't do that. All right, last one I have for you. So I usually hope to come into this with like one topic that I'm really excited about and then like maybe two that are going to be fun. This is the third one of which I originally had this one first where I was like, if I only have this one, this topic is going to be great. Mm. and where we had to wait to this point to get to it, but still struggling with how to phrase it. But here's
you pick the order.
No, no, but I'm saying because like the Zach Lowe one came up today, and then I want to hit on your Lambo.
Yeah,
I'm saying like, the fact that there's like three that I'm super stoked about is nice.
Yeah.
If this situation with Malik Willis had happened a year ago, before we knew that Jordan.
No, no, shut up. What are you going to do? Come on. Come on. What are you doing?
Hold on. Hold on. We didn't know that Jordan Love was good until week 12. Like, I mean, like, give this guy $55 million a year good, right? Like, that level of good. It's a good thing that this situation that has happened through 3 weeks didn't happen last year. We would be in a much different universe, a different parallel galaxy to you all. We can, whatever Marvel analogy you want to use. If this had happened a year ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So if this happened a year ago where Jordan Love is kind of for game one and then gets hurt, Malik Willis comes in weeks 2 and 3 and is really good. We would be living in a much different galaxy, a different Packers universe timeline. And it's a good thing that that didn't happen. Thank goodness that this didn't happen a year ago. Mm-hmm or mm-mm.
Well, so what would happen? So if this happened last year and Jordan Love's ready to play, he would have come back for week 4.
Okay. But you, I mean, we had Sean Clifford truthers who were like, you got to start Clifford. You got like a year ago.
Now
if Malik Willis, a guy who we all liked.
Other reasons, I think.
If Malik Willis, who we all liked in college and whatever else, and the Packers get him, he comes in, he's better in weeks 2 and 3 than what Love was in week 1, that would have been terrible.
All right. With all due respect to Malik Willis, and I do think, and I agree with Kevin Harlan, that this is a Coach of the Year performance, a conversation you can find on the Odyssey platform or also the Bart Winkler Show YouTube channel.
I think you just dropped something down there, but go ahead.
Which you're on right now. Well, I was talking with my good friend Kevin Harland yesterday. He did say afterwards, he said, great conversation. Let's pick this up anytime.
I heard that.
But then there was a double down on it after I ended the interview.
That's big.
And then he said, what's your address? Want to hang out on Monday night after the game?
To which then he said, any chance I have to get away from Sheboygan, the farther away from this shithole, the better.
Yeah. With all due respect, I feel like watching Malik Willis, his performances, is watching someone throw a 300 game with bumpers.
Wow. Okay.
Like, he's doing very well. He's also got the situation set up for him. Now, he's made some throws that he needed to make. So, hey, look, Dad, I didn't use the bumper that time.
A few strikes that didn't. Yeah, I got it. I follow you.
But what's happened with these 2 weeks? Nobody's saying, hey, Malik Willis has been fucking amazing. It's people saying, wow, Matt LaFleur got that out of Malik Willis.
Yeah, but if Caleb Williams had had one game so far, like what Malik Willis has had two, people would be shitting themselves to say how great Caleb Williams is.
Oh, if he had the Jaden Daniels game, it would be over.
It's all about like that advanced PR work of like what your expectations are for a player.
I think the Bears are fucked, actually. I still think Caleb Williams is going to be good. But like, how can you be a Bears fan and watch the guy at number 2 do that, and then Justin Fields go 3-0? Like it's wars on both fronts, man.
Yeah.
Anyway, you were being interrupted.
Well, no, there's plenty. I mean, there's plenty you can to say on this. But like, I guess I want to put across the point that if we would go back a year, and Love plays an okay game in week 1 and gets hurt, and the backup comes in, be it Clifford, be it Malik Willis, whatever, plays well even with the bumpers on, that like we could be like, that would have been bad because we wouldn't have got given Love. I don't think the same. It's possible. I think it's very possible in this alternate universe that Love isn't given the leash he was given last year.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't become the $55 million per year quarterback. And I just thought to myself, like, thank goodness it happened after we all agree that Love is good, because if it happened before we agreed that Love was good, this could have been really bad for like future Packers. Go ahead, Grant.
Well, I had a caller bring this up this week, and I didn't really know how to answer the caller. He's like, what if this would have happened last year? And
basically,
the only response I could give was, the Packers front office is very thankful that that's not what happened. Like, the Packers front office is very thankful that this played out the way that it did, because it could have been a lot messier. It could have been a lot harder. Like, Jordan Love by the end of the year made it easy on the Packers front office, but it could have been so much messier.
That's interesting that you had a call about that and that you had to respond to it in real time. Who was it? Who's your smart caller? Who's your brilliant caller?
I can't remember who it was. It's not someone who calls. It wasn't Cone. It wasn't one of the regulars. I can't remember who it was.
Okay. I had Eric on I-90 on hold the other day, but he was only on hold for like 3 minutes, and then I was just going to go to him.
Eric's a Vikings fan. Another caller on the morning show this week called him Earache on I-90. Yeah, I should see Eric tomorrow. He normally comes to our Oktoberfest tapping in the morning. He normally stops by on his way to work.
Earache. Oh, my God. I'm going to see. If I go to Media Day, I'm going to go up to Name and say, what's up, Earache Name?
So, Bart,
if I get accepted.
Was this question going where you thought it was going when I started going like, you know, 6 seconds?
Yeah. Well, Jesus, where else could it have gone?
Okay.
Now,
I liked your reaction. It told me that I was onto something.
Now, Grant, I think you shared about possible, like, we have to get Malik Willis still in the game somehow.
Oh, that is really? This is a
situation.
Oh, whoa.
Paul, wait a minute, Paul. I need to clarify this with you. Do you think Packers fandom is just sitting around these last 2 weeks? And I see the dregs because I see the internet comments on the live stream to our shows. Do you think Packers fandom is sitting around with their legs crossed these last 2 weeks going, wow, we finally have a nice backup. No need to do anything else other than win games with him until Jordan Love comes back. Do you think that's what's going on? Because a good portion of the fan base wants to flip him while he's playing good for a pick. Another portion of the fan base wants to come up with packages to continue to get him into the game. And then another portion of the fan base is like, are we sure we want to bring Jordan Love back? Let's play Willis until he loses. Like, this is going on. This is happening now.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, I guess I do take for granted the level of silliness that you guys have to deal with, or that you, Grant, now with the two local shows every day has to deal with. Cause that's okay. Fair enough.
By the way, those aren't like ridiculous. Like if a team, let's say the Dolphins were to call and offer a second for Malik Willis, I'm not saying it's a ridiculous, you know what I mean? Like that could happen. And like a third and short package for him. Sure. Okay. It's, I'm not saying it's ridiculous, but I'm just saying that these conversations are happening, Paul.
Like, yeah.
We, as a fan base right now, we are the dog that caught the car. Like, we have been dying for a decent backup for well over a decade. We finally have one, and we don't really know what to do with it now that we've gotten there.
So my part B to this is, and you might take a second to think about this, but you'll see how I'm going about it. This is my last one. It's an add-on to the Malik Willis. Malik Willis is one of the 25 best quarterbacks in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Or mm-mm. Essentially, he would start for 6-7 teams.
No.
He is better than the quarterback for 6. He's a top 25 quarterback in the NFL.
No.
Would Patriots fans rather have Malik Willis than Jacoby Brissett currently?
I've watched both. No. If Malik Willis has been far superior.
Okay. What about Titans fans? What would they say right now?
They would absolutely they would absolutely want Malik Willis.
Which, by the way, I brought this up on my show on Monday. This Malik, it's a funny story to us that we stole the Titans backup for a seventh and then walked into Nissan Stadium and pretty much beat their ass with him, right? It's a funny story to us. But because the Titans are so nationally irrelevant, no one else cares. Imagine if the Chiefs acquired Trey Lance for a seventh round pick from the Niners once upon a time, and then in a massive regular season game went into Santa Clara and beat them with Trey Lance.
Yeah.
It would be everywhere. It would be this.
You're right. You're right.
But because it's the Titans.
No, because
like,
it's us. It's the same thing with Council. No one gives a fuck.
This is the Council Cubs thing on the national scene that Bart has talked about. Yeah.
I think if the Packers did it to the Vikings, it would be a bigger step. Is there a less nationally relevant team than the Titans right now, though?
Yeah. Jacksonville, maybe. I don't know. Oh, my goodness.
I'm not doing the Freems thing where it's like, oh, the top stories on ESPN.
I got sweaty.
I'm not doing that, but I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Grand, I got sweaty.
Grant, you're, by the way, Grant, your connection was great this whole time up until that. And then as you were doing that, Bart started disrobing.
Well, I got sweaty.
All right. This might be as good a time of any as Grant starts cutting out.
Sorry, I'm glad. Sorry about that, fellas.
Right. I'm doing my Bert Kreischer imitation with my hat and my shirt off.
It's a pretty good impression, quite frankly. So, Bart, it's like you were very definitively on this, that Malik Willis is a top 25 quarterback in the league.
I can't look at myself like this. I am.
No one else wants to either. So,
well, I was sweaty. I was having.
I was going to say, no, Bart. Everyone else is enjoying it.
Grant, without putting, like, without looking at a list of quarterbacks and backups and starters, where would you just, you got to pick a number. Malik Willis is the blank best quarterback in the NFL. What number would you pick?
It's a tough question to answer because if you take him out of this environment, I think it changes.
I know.
I think if Malik Willis plays against the Vikings, he will get his shit destroyed. So let's get Love back and let's have these 2 weeks where we thought Malik Willis was pretty good and let's never need to go back to it again.
That's probably what's going to happen.
He beat the Colts and the Titans. He did what he needed to do. Thank you for your service. Costanza this thing out after one joke. Oh, wow. Americana at its finest.
But then, Bart, this...
Where 12 ends and 94 begins.
And to think this all used to be ice shelves.
This does contradict, though, with something we texted about, which is, how would you answer this question? Malik Willis isn't just good for a backup. Malik Willis is good. Mm-hmm or mm-mm.
No.
I think you're
seeing two games.
I know. I'm not trying to say he's a top 10, top 15. I mean, I'm not. Like, I get it. And LaFleur, to your point earlier, Bart, like, the conversation hasn't been, wow, Malik Willis. It's been, okay, LaFleur's a top 5 head coach. Yeah. Like, these 2 weeks have sealed the public opinion that
Matt follow LaFleur, the narratives.
Yeah. But at the same time, I do think, like, I mean, you're going to have Malik Willis like flame out after 2 years in Tennessee and then definitively say, yeah, he's just an average backup. He's clearly not.
Can I say this in defense of Malik Willis? I like, there are worse franchises than the Titans, but that's the nightmare situation, right? Like, the quarterback that's drafted is a last ditch effort by a GM and a coach that knows they're on their way out, and they take some half-assed quarterback like Kellen Mond in the second round just to say they did, but they were never that invested in him. And then the new regime gets there, and it's not our guy. And like, that's a terrible middle ground to be in.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, I got to go pick up my kid.
All right.
Grant, thank you for your driving. Paul, thank you for your questions.
You're welcome. Fun times as always.
I hope my connection and audio wasn't like horrible.
It was good. Yeah. It was better than mine normally is at my house.
True. Said it.
Yeah. All right, boys. Till next time. This has been Into the Winklerverse.
Prost.